Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Thank you. 104, Vrajadhama Mahimamrutam, the nectarine glories of Vrajadhama. Page 104.
राधे जय कृष्ण जय वृंदावना श्री गोविंद गोविंद मदन
Jaya Jaya Krishna Sakha
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
ശിഷ്യപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമഹരാശിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയനിത്യ പ്രവിഷ്ണോം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രജകാചാര്യ അശോദ്ര ശര ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വ മഹാരാശിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് രാമാചാര്യ ശിലഹരദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യം പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരിഗോവർധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ബുദ്ധിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ മോദിനേശ്വരി ഭക്തിവിധാന സ്വാമി രാമനെ നമസ്തേ സാരസ്വതി പ്രചാരണി പ്രാശാദേശധാരണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മിളിതാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാൻവിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതാംശ്ച ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗി രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസ്തുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ വാഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാ സിന്ധുഭ്യ ഏവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതം ഭഗവതം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതം പുരാണമുനിനം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണിം ഭഗവതിം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനിം അംബത്വാമനുസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവദ്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണിം നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായ തപത്രനേത്രം യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപാം പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമാം സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹദ് വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം കംസജാനൂരമർദ്ദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗൽഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്യോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥ ജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതി കൃപേണ മഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവാം പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകേ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഃ പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാൽ ഭാരതപങ്കജം കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിനശ്രേയസേം മൂക്കം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുതസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈർ സാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. സോ വൈൽ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് ദി ചാപ്റ്റർ 9 ഇൻ ഭഗവത്ഗീത വിച്ച് ഇസ് റെഫേർഡ് ടു ആസ് രാജവിദ്യ ഓർ രാജയോഗം, we were going to Srimad Bhagavatam to find the realizations of Uddhava who met Vidura in the banks of the river Yamuna. That is where we stopped last Sunday. So in the Bhagavad Gita, this particular chapter 9, which Krishna has given a lot of importance, as by the title itself it shows that Rajavidya, or the king of knowledge, and it's also the most confidential knowledge, as Rajaguhyam it is referred to. Pavitram, it's pure, Krishna says. And by practicing the process of this Raja Yogam, one comes to the pure understanding that he is no more, he is free from all lamentation and grief, Krishna says in the next verses. So while referring to this, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Krishna says there, Idam Tume Guhyadamam Pravakshyami Anasuyave. Krishna addresses Arjuna as one who is free from envy. And I'll speak to you this knowledge which is in the Rajavidya. Krishna says that Jnanam Vijnana Sahidam El Jnatva Mokshase Sahitval, that by knowing which one will be released from the get all the auspiciousness from that. And in connection with that, Krishna says also there in the next verse that Rajavidya Rajaguhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmim Susukham Kartum Avyayam, that this is very confidential, Krishna says. And we have seen why it is so confidential, because compared to Jnanam or Yogam or Karmam, this bhakti process is a confidential thing to understand it also. And when one becomes a pure devotee of Krishna, only then one realizes the glory of devotion. The glory of devotion, one realizes only at that point. Otherwise, very often people have the tendency to reject the bhakti process on the understanding that it is meant for the common man. And it is not given a higher status compared to the jnana process. And that is quite often, it is seen among the learned people also. But Krishna is saying here that the pure devotee is on a higher platform than a jnani or a yogi. We will see why it is so higher compared to a jnani or a yogi or a karma yogi or a sankhya yogi or whatever that is. But there are various reasons why bhakti process is given a higher importance, and then the reason why bhakti is far superior to all the other processes. Take for example, if you take any of the other processes, say for example karma yogam, sangha yogam, jnana yogam or ashtanga yogam, any of those, they all depends on adhikari bhedam. Adhikari bhedam means eligibility. If one is eligible, they can practice those things. That is the importance of that. For example, if one practices karma yogam, there are strings attached to that. For example, kalam desham kartav, that means the time, place and the performer. These things are important in karma yogam. And when any of these things goes wrong, the karma yogam also gets affected. Similarly, if you take about sankhyam also, one requires a very high, sharp intelligence to understand the process and to follow through. So that is the difficulty with Sankhya Yoga. And when it comes to Ashtanga Yoga system, one has to practice all the other activities like Yamam, Nayamam, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, samadhi. And it is a very, very hard endeavor, very high endeavor to attain perfection in that process, because of the all this, one's eligibility is involved in that. One is capable of doing all these things. That is what makes him successful in that particular yoga process. If you come to Jnana Margam, for example, process of knowledge, in the very beginning it is self that one should have what is known as sadhana chatushtayam. In other words, one should have the ability to discriminate between the temporary and the permanent, nityam and anityam, vastu vivegam as it is referred to. And then one should have the tremendous detachment, renunciation from the material world. Iham uttraphala bhoga viragam, as it is referred to, the renunciation from the everything in this world. Then he should have shamam, damam, titiksha, uparadi, shraddha, samadhanam, all these other qualifications. And apart from all that, one should have mumukshatvam or desire for liberation. So like this, every other yoga process requires certain eligibility. One has to be eligible to follow that process. If one does not have that qualifications, one is not going to make a success. But when it comes to bhakti yoga process, there is no eligibility. Anyone and everyone is qualified to become a devotee. That does not mean that this is a lower process. That doesn't mean by that. Because Krishna has kept this Raja Yogam or the Raja Vidya, where bhakti process is discussed very seriously, Krishna gives a lot of importance to the process of devotion. And even in Srimad Bhagavatam you will find at various instances Krishna glorifies the devotee far higher than the jnani or a yogi. For this one reason only, that ordinary people who do not have any spiritual qualifications, for him bhakti yoga process is the most successful process that will elevate him very quickly in the spiritual path. Therefore, bhakti process is given a lot of importance because of this reason, and that is why it is discussed in this chapter so seriously. The second reason for this, so first one is eligibility. All the other processes requires to be, one has to be eligible, whereas one comes to bhakti process, everyone is eligible. Second thing, in relationship with bhakti process and with the other processes is, all other processes, there is always the possibility of falling down, isn't it? For example, to stay in the Karma Yoga position all the time is very, very difficult. In spite of the fact that one is very capable, still attachment will build up. And at some point in time, he will fall from that consciousness, Karma Yogam consciousness. Similarly for a jnani, and same thing with a yogi. So all the other processes, what is known as padana bhayam, the possibility, the fear of falling down is much more there in the other processes compared to the bhakti process. But when it comes to bhakti process, Krishna says, kshipram bhavati dharmaatma shashvat shantin nigacchati kaundeya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Krishna says, my devotee doesn't fall. In other words, we may consider somebody is fallen from our way of judging things, because we have got different way of judging things, isn't it? We think everything in a different way. Our own calculations, our own mind, everything. So when we start judging people like that, Krishna is saying that a devotee never falls. One who has come to Krishna, paid his obeisances to Krishna, there is no more falling down after that. Then it is in Krishna's control. Krishna takes care of that person from then on. Temporarily it may appear that someone has lost the enthusiasm for spiritual life, or somebody has fallen away from the... It may appear like that. But Krishna says, kshipram bhavati dharmaatma shashvat shantim nigacchatim, that person is a dharmaatma, he is a sadhu who has come to me. And very quickly he says, kaundeya pratijanihi, Arjuna, they do not have any doubt about it, name bhakta pranashyati, my devotee will never fall. This is the guarantee what Krishna has given in this chapter. So therefore you can see that apart from eligibility, whereas karma yogi or a jnani is always frightened, when will I fall? When will I fall? When am I going to fall? This fear is in their mind all the time. So they have to be extremely cautious in controlling their mind and senses. Otherwise, in 1 second the whole thing can go. And then to pull them back again, back to its original position is very, very difficult. So when it comes to bhakti yogam, the advantage is that Krishna is taking care of everything. A devotee does not have to be too concerned about his own future in spiritual life. That's the second thing. Third thing when you talk about is that a karmi depends on karmam, jnani depends on jnanam, yogi depends on yogam.
Devotee depends on Krishna. This is the difference. That Krishna, the devotee has handed over himself to Krishna. There is no more doubting who is going to look after me, what will happen to me. That fear is gone. This I am talking about those devotees who have taken that shelter of Krishna. For them, that who has taken complete shelter of Krishna, Krishna is responsible for everything after that. Devotee does not have to worry about it. So various things to consider. While bhakti process is so higher compared and easy to perform, that is why Krishna says here, Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Midamuttamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukham Kartumavyayam. That the how easy the process is, Krishna says, but we do not appreciate that. We want something complicated. So therefore our mind goes into something else. But Krishna consciousness is a process which will easily elevate a person when one follows the principle seriously. That is one thing. Secondly, apart from all these things, there are other factors also that influence us in these things. For a jnani, for a yogi or a karmi, he has a process to follow, isn't it? That is called a sadhana. The sadhana is the process he follows. And eventually he attains a final goal which is called a sadhyam. The goal is the sadhyam, which is Krishna. So sadhana is a process and sadhyam is a goal. Till he reaches there, he is on his process. He is continuing the process. For a devotee, it is not different. Sadhana and sadhyam is the same, isn't it? The very first day when the devotee comes, when one surrenders to Krishna and pays his obeisances to Krishna, from then on Krishna is with him. Krishna is with him all through the process, and at the end also Krishna is with him. So for a devotee that is a big difference. It is not two different things. Sadhana and sadhyam is two different. Although when we chant the holy name of Krishna, the holy name when we chant, immediately Krishna is present there, and the presence of Krishna makes it all the more purifying to the devotee's consciousness, and eventually the goal actually ultimately is also to chant the holy name of Krishna. So eventually he reaches the ultimate goal, Krishna, through the same process, by chanting process. So whatever way you take it, you will find that Krishna consciousness is an easier process to follow. This is easier because in this age of Kali, where things are so complicated, our way of life. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, what does it say? Prayena alpa isha sabhya kalau asmin yuge janaha manda sumanda madayo manda bhagya hyubadrudaha. That manda, everything is slowly, slowly. There is no rush for spiritual life. It can wait till I get my pension. I'll start my spiritual life after that. Most of the people are in that, whoever wants to start, are thinking that it'll be only after I've sorted out all my family issues and other things, then we'll start spiritual life. That is mandaha. Then, if manda is not too bad. At least it is slowly it's happening. Sumandamadaya. Sumandamadaya means that, okay, if although it is slow, if something is spoken, will that click into the head? That also it won't happen. So what do you do? Sumanda madayam. Okay, manda sumanda madayam. Then what else? Manda bhagya hubadrudaha. That if it is all like that, at least are they some good fortune in their life? That is also not there. They are so unfortunate. Vedavyasa Maharshi says in the Srimad Bhagavatam that they have to work so hard to maintain the material body, and that is where the whole problem comes, isn't it? Shovidvara hostagare samstuda purusha pashu nayal karna katho vedam jaduna magadagrajaha. Bhagavatam says like that, that hogs, dogs, camels and asses, Sukad Brahman she says to Parishit Maharaj, they will not understand the potency of the holy name. Vatnayat karna katho vedam jaduna magadagrajaha. They will not understand the potency of the holy name, what they are hearing. So therefore, this process is such that one has to be very, very fortunate to come to the process of bhakti. It doesn't happen overnight. Chittardratvamadevijindyabahubi siddhyandijanmandareihi. After many, many lifetimes, Krishna says, after many, many lifetimes, when one has developed a proper understanding of the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he will surrender to me. Otherwise not. Chittardratvamadevijindyabahubi siddhyandijanmandareihi. Ardrada means that softening of the heart, that ability to understand the position of the Supreme Personality, Krishna, and surrender unto him and accept and the service of Krishna. After several lifetimes, this can happen to a person. So therefore, bhakti process is such that you will notice this in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamritam, everywhere. In one instance, if you know that once it so happened that they asked Prabhupada that what is Rupa Goswami's position? He is the greatest devotee in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Isn't it? Rupa Goswami is considered to be the greatest devotee. So one of the great Goswamis, Prabhupada says, Rupa Goswami was a great devotee, no doubt. He was a great acharya of the Sampradaya. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered Ramananda Raya superior still to Rupa Goswami. You may wonder why. Ramananda Raya was considered superior to Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami was a Goswami in the sannyasa ashram, ultimately given up all material attachment, total renunciation, practicing spiritual life in Vrindavanam, in the holy dham, and a close associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A Brahmana by birth and Brahmana by qualities, by all means, a great personality, Rupa Goswami. And then Rupa Goswami was considered in spiritually in a lower position compared to Ramananda Roy. Why is that? Ramananda Roy was working in this world, like he was the prime minister of the king of Orissa. And he lived in a place, he was not living in the holy dham, he lived in a different place. And apart from that, he belonged to the Shudra family as well. So by birth, by qualifications and everything, he appeared as though he is inferior to Rupa Goswami. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no, Ramananda Roy is superior to all. Why? Why is that? Because actually, it is very difficult to say one spiritual position, how many lifetimes he has served Krishna, and what all how he himself has got attached to Krishna, that is beyond our judgment. We do not know that. And that is why Ramananda Roy is considered superior. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Ramananda Roy to hear about Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Ramananda Roy has the perfect understanding of Krishna consciousness. So from this you can see that what in the material world, how we analyze things and how we talk about different personalities, actually, because we do not know their background in previous lifetimes, how many lifetimes they have served Krishna, and how many lifetimes, in what capacity they were attached to Krishna, what their relationship with Krishna is unknown to us. But we only see what has happened in this life, and then we start making judgment about them. This is the biggest mistake in the bhakti process. When we start judging others, oh, he is a first class devotee, he is a second class, he is third class. Judgment we make about people. And Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that this will be the greatest fault in the bhakti process. When you start judging others, what his position is. Nobody knows what his position is, because this is a relationship between Krishna and the devotee. No one has any right to encroach into that relationship. It is between Krishna and the devotee. Krishna knows who is his devotee. We don't have to make that judgment, who is Krishna's devotee and who is not. So, looking into all these things, you will find, when you study this particular chapter of Raja Yogam or Raja Vidya, as it is mentioned here, you will find that this process is simple, but at the same time, there are possibilities of making mistakes also. So, apatyakshavagamam dharmyam susugam kartumam vyayam. Then the next verse, Ashraddha Dana Purusha Dharmasyasya Marandava Aprapimam Nivartande Mrtya Samsara Vartmani. Again Krishna says, Ashraddha Dana Purusha, one who is not, who does not have Shraddha. We have discussed Shraddha before, what Shraddha means, isn't it? Shraddha means one who has serious understanding of analyzing Shastram and the instructions of spiritual master. And from that to conclude, come to the right conclusions. That capacity to do that is called Shraddha. Dharmasyasya Parandava Aprapyamam Nivartande Nitya Samsara Vartmani. One who has no Shraddha, Krishna says, he will not be able to get out of this cycle of birth and death. That is Krishna's conclusion. So Krishna gives a lot of importance to Shraddha in this very chapter. He refers everything based on Shraddha, one Shraddha. that not blind belief. Belief has no value. Shraddha is important. So, Krishna is also says there, another instance also in the Bhagavatam you will find, Shraddham Bhagavadam Shastre Anindam Anyatra Javihi, that in Bhagavata Shastram one should have Shraddha, but one should not be Aninda, I mean insulting or offensive to other Shastras. To other Shastras, we don't have to be offensive to them. Because in different parts of the world, different kinds of philosophies have developed, and it has, many people have taken shelter of those processes at different places. So we should not ridicule them, but at the same time, Krishna says that one who wants to understand the spiritual life, he should take to Srimad Bhagavatam. Shraddha Bhagavadam Shastre Anindam Anyatra Chavihi. In the Ekadasya Skandam, Krishna mentions like this. So Shraddha, Krishna has given a lot of importance to that. Now, because of all these things, bhakti process is simple to execute, but at the same time, one has to be cautious also about it. What are the other factors that differentiates bhakti from the other processes? In all the other processes, for example, there is a possibility of false ego building up, isn't it? When a jnani, when become very learned, you should look at his face, and you will see that pride building up inside, from the knowledge that has gone in. Because spiritual knowledge is such a powerful thing. It's not like, even with material knowledge, people are getting puffed up. What to talk about spiritual knowledge? So material knowledge can bring so much false ego. What will happen when one realizes the soul and spiritual knowledge develops in the heart? So that process is, problem is there with the jnani. And the same problem is with the yogi also. When Ashtanga Yoga, when one processes, when one is progressing and is experiencing different siddhis are coming to him, he starts realizing, this life is wonderful. So that yogi has got this problem. Karmi also has got the same problem. But for a devotee, there is no question of false ego. If he is a devotee, because devotee is under Krishna's shelter, always surrendering to Krishna, always taking Krishna's shelter, so there is no possibility of any ego building up inside, any false ego building up inside. This is another factor which helps a person to survive in Bhakti Yogam easier than in all the other processes. Then, although all these factors do exist, there are much more interesting factors about bhakti. What is the bhakti process? Bhakti process is always blissful. For a jnani and a yogi and all that, the process is very hard. They have to be so determined to execute that process. If for any reason, if they get driven away by Maya, by any reason, they get driven away by Maya and gets affected by the three modes of material nature, their determination goes away to make progress on spiritual path. It is then that they realize that they have deviated from their sadhana, or they deviated from the process. And then they have to struggle very hard to come back to that. For a devotee, because the process itself is so blissful, the chanting process is blissful, kirtanam is blissful, prasadam is blissful, deity worship is blissful, everything is blissful in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the possibility of enjoying the process is far higher in the bhakti process than in all the other processes. In everywhere else, one has to have that firm determination to stick to the process. Otherwise, you will simply fall from the process very easily. So that is another important factor in relationship with bhakti. In addition to all these things, there is something more to it than that. That the process of jnanam, karmam, yogam and all that, there is always different kinds of impediments that comes into that. Whereas bhakti, Krishna says in the Vedavyasa Maharshi, she says in the Bhagavadam, Ahaituki apratihada yenalpa samprasidadim, that the process of bhakti is such that very easily nothing can stop from one becoming a devotee. No force in this world can stop a person becoming a devotee. There is nothing necessary to become a devotee. All that is required is a heart to surrender to Krishna. So these kind of facilities have been Krishna has offered in the bhakti process, knowing very well that majority of the people in this world will have to go through the process of bhakti. That is why it is sarvajaninam, and for all the people, and sarvalaukikam, it's for the whole world and for all the people, for all time, this process of bhakti is more more suitable than any other process. That is the just the preliminary things about bhakti. Now Krishna says, when one has come to a pure devotional platform, one becomes a pure devotee of Krishna, he is far superior to any jnani or a yogi or anyone else in that matter. Why? Because Krishna takes a personal protection of that devotee. That is Krishna's responsibility. You don't find Krishna getting excited when he talks about a jnani or a yogi. In the Ekadasha Skandam, you will find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when he talks about a devotee, Krishna is excited. Krishna talks with such emotions about a devotee. Natadame priyadama atmayo nirna shangara naja sangarshanma shri naivatma jayatha bhavan. To Uddhava, Krishna says like this, Natadame priyadama, no one is dear to me, atmayo nirna shangara, nor Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva. Naja sangarshanam nashri naivatma jayatha bhavan, not even Lord Balaram. Not even Mahalakshmi Rukmini is dear to me as much as you are. In order to get this certification from Krishna, what has Uddhava done? That is the question, isn't it? What did Uddhava do to get this certification from Krishna like this? If Krishna has to tell someone, you are not dear, you are dearer to me than Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or Lord Balaram, or even Rukmini, or Mahalakshmi, what has Uddhava done to get to this situation? That is what we were discussing from the third canto. So, when he goes to third canto, you will find there, Vidura met Uddhava. Vidura met in the, on the banks of the river Yamuna, Uddhava and Vidura met. Just before that, Vidura decided to leave home. As I mentioned before, Vidura decided to leave home. And while leaving home, as I mentioned before, that Vidura had a lot of things going through his mind. Lot of things going through his mind. Elder brother Dhritarashtra called him for advice, isn't it? He called him for advice. And whole night, Vidura gave advice to Dhritarashtra. With a very, very honest and open way. Vidura is Dharmaraja who has, out of the curse of Mandavimani, he had to accept this body of Vidura. There's a body he had to accept because of that. So, Yavadharmaraja, when he is speaking, he cannot be wrong. He knows what is dharmam, isn't it? He is one of the 12 Mahajans also. So, when he spoke dharmam to Yudhishthira Maharaj, to Dhritarashtra, King Dhritarashtra, whole night he spoke about dharmam, isn't it? Whole night he spoke about dharmam. Even after hearing that, and speaking to Dhritarashtra about the position of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everything the king heard and nodded. Yes. He nodded everything. And in the morning he says, what shall I do? He says. So it was then that Vidura paid his obeisances to Maya. It was at that point Vidura paid his obeisances to Maya. Why? By now Duryodhana has caught hold of him and decided to kick him out from there. And he says, is there no one else to get hold of Vidura and strangle him and throw him out of this kingdom? Because Vidura gave the advice to Dhritarashtra that this Duryodhana, if you don't throw him out from the kingdom, it will bring total disasters to everybody in the whole kingdom. This was won by Vidura to Dhritarashtra. And even after giving such a sincere and an honest advice to Dhritarashtra, he did not accept it. It was at that point that Vidura realized the power of Maya. He said at that time, this is the power of Maya, paid his obeisances to Maya at that point. Vidura need not have left home. After all, Vidura's family life was not a disaster. Vidura's wife was known as a great devotee of Krishna. Krishna has visited their home and stayed there. So by all reasons, Vidura's home life was good. Parikshit Maharaj asked the question, why did Vidura leave home? And in answer to that, then only that Sukadeva Goswami had to say these things to Parikshit. That in spite of all this good happiness at home, everything was going on well for Vidura. He decided to leave home when these incidents happened in the palace of Dhritarashtra. When Dhritarashtra decided not to take his advice seriously, when Draupadi was disrobed in the assembly by Dushasana and Duryodhana's gang, and similarly, when they decided to destroy the Pandavas, more than anything else, when Krishna came to negotiate the peace deal with Dhritarashtra, And Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana rejected that offer and offended and insulted the Supreme Personality Krishna. Vidura decided to pack up and go. That is the point. That was the cut-off point for Vidura. That's it. No more to play, stay in this place, he said. What did Parikshit Sukadeva Goswami says about that? Rajarumene chatapunyalesha. That actually, who has gone? It is not Vidura, he says. It is the Sukradam or the piety or piousness of the Kaurava family has gone now from that home. That is how Sukadeva Goswami says about this. It is not that Vidura has gone. Vidura was an individual. No. Vidura is actually the only person there who knew who Krishna was and Krishna's position is. And that a devotee in a family is a great thing. And he has lost that. That devotee has gone from that home. Once that devotee has gone, that means Sukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit, Chadapunyalesha, that all the piousness or pious activity, whatever was left behind in this house, is completely gone. In other words, disaster is waiting at the doorstep to come. And this was all inherent in that verse when Sukadeva Goswami spoke about this to Parikshit Maharaj. It was after that they, when they met each other, Vidura and Uddhava, that conversation is also very important. Important in the sense that so many things what you find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there were more confidential things known to Uddhava, being the close associate of Krishna for a very, very long time, was a close associate of Krishna. So, when Uddhava and Vidura met each other, at that time, Vidura was asking Uddhava about the welfare of the different people at Dwaraka, inquiring about all the family members, and so many others were present there who were known to Vidura before. And Vidura's intention was to go there as well later on, and to see Krishna and to know what has happened. But when Vidura was inquiring about so many personalities, about Satigi, Samba, and Akrura, and so many other personalities who are family members, Vasudeva, Devaki, and also about Krishna, Vidura was asking, and Uddhava had no answer. Uddhava was very, very quiet. And at some point in time, tears started coming from Uddhava's eyes. Uddhava started crying at that time. When Uddhava's reply to Vidura is very, very interesting. What did Uddhava say? Krishnadyumaninim loje girneshu ajagarenaha kimnunakushalam bruyam yada shreshu griheshwaham. This is how Uddhava started. Kimnunakushalam bruyam yada shriyam yada shreshu griheshwaham. All those people whom you were asking me in Dwaraka, nobody is there anymore. They have all gone. How is that? Krishnadyumani nimloje girneshu ajagarenaha. That just like when the sun is shining throughout the day, everybody is engaged in different activities. While the evening, by the time sun sets, people want to go home and get home before it gets dark, isn't it? And this was the life in the villages in those days, that they wanted to get home before it gets dark. That is quite natural. So similarly, the sun called Krishna was shining. And when Krishna was shining, because once the night time comes, the darkness comes, and people won't be able to go home and find their way home. That is how this is explained here. That they could not get home at that time. So they were in difficulty, so therefore they were rushing to get home before it gets dark. Kiya, Uddhava is saying to Vidura, Krishnadyumani nimloje girnesha jagarenaham. That just like when Krishna left, the sun called Krishna. When he left this world, what happens? The thing called Ajagaram, this python called time has taken over this world. And with the result was that all the Yadavas and others have all been victimized by that. Because they did not know who Krishna was. This was the greatest thing. That many of the Yadava members of the Yadava family did not know, and they could not take advantage of their, they thought Krishna is another family member of ours. They thought like that. Girnesha Jagarenaha. So, because they did not know how to take advantage of that relationship they had with Krishna, Krishna was personally present among them. In spite of that, they did not recognize him, who he is. So, says, Uddhava says there, Kinnu Nakushalam Bhuyal. What should I say about, you are asking me about all these people. What am I supposed to tell you? He says, Kinnu Nakushalam Bhuyal, Gadashreshu Gaheshwaham. That there is nothing I can say about this, because this is what has happened. These Yadavas did not know who Krishna was, and their situation was like this, that when the sun sets, the darkness comes, and Krishna left, the darkness has come, they all fought each other, killed each other, and they all left this world. This is how Uddhava answered to Vidura. So, Vidura started realizing what has happened in Dwaraka. That has affected Vidura also. Vidura was wondering that what is to be done now. Vidura was planning to go to Dwaraka to see them all after his long pilgrimage, where he has been visiting several temples and holy places in order to stay away from the battlefield. He handed over the bow and the arrow at the gate. He dropped them and told Duryodhana that don't worry about me. I won't be fighting the war either this side or that side. I'm staying away from that. Saying this, Vidura walked out from there. And from then on, he was performing this long pilgrimage, and now he is planning to go back. That is when he met Uddhava at that point. And that is when this conversation happened. Durbhago badalogoyam yadavo nidaramavi yesam vasandona vidur harimina ivodubam. That durbhago badalogoyam yadavo nidaramavi. That particularly this world is very unfortunate, Uddhava says. Because Uddhava is a very intelligent person, isn't it? We discussed this in the 10th canto, how intelligent Uddhava was. So Uddhava says, Turbhago badalogoyam. This logam, this world, people are very, very unfortunate. Very unfortunate. Because they have lost the opportunity to associate with Krishna. Out of that, Yadavo nidaramavi. The Yadavas are particularly unfortunate. Because they had all the opportunity, they could not do it. Then, just like in the on a full moon day, when the moon is reflecting in the water, the fish that is swimming in the, fish is moving around inside the water. Fish is thinking about the moon. The moon is also one like us, another fish inside the water. That is what the fish is thinking about the moon, which is a reflection of the full moon from the sky. They don't understand what the moon is. Fish doesn't have the intelligence, running around for eating something. So he is seeing the moon reflecting in the water, and looking at it, the fish is thinking, maybe it's another type of fish like us, and wandering around. So similarly, when Krishna was on the planet, and Krishna was also among the Yadavas did not know who Krishna was, and therefore they could not take full advantage, or they were very unfortunate, Uddhava calls here. Uddhava was not unfortunate, Uddhava was very fortunate. He was one person who understood Krishna who he is from the very beginning, and for 112 years of close association with Krishna, Uddhava understood many, many things. And now we will come understand what is Uddhava. What did Uddhava find in Krishna? That is in the Uddhava's so many verses from now on. Uddhava says about Krishna so many things. And from there you can see what was Uddhava's heart was like. Krishna's aristocracy, Krishna's beauty, Krishna's detachment, Krishna's renunciation, and various things has attracted Uddhava. Krishna's knowledge, everything has attracted Uddhava. Uddhava was influenced by all these factors. So, one after the other, Uddhava starts speaking about what he has seen in Krishna. And the whole night on the banks of the river, Yamuna River, Uddhava spoke about Krishna to Vidura. This is what Uddhava, till the morning came, whole night, this was late in the evening, when the sun was setting, that Uddhava arrived there. And that is when they met with each other. And this conversation carried on right till the next day morning. So you can imagine what is Uddhava is, personality like Uddhava is. So Uddhava says there that Vidura wanted to know from Uddhava what has happened, how Krishna departed from this world, and what all happened at the time of Krishna's departure. Many, many things Vidura wanted to know from Uddhava. But Vidura, Uddhava's answers, if you see the way Uddhava has replied to Vidura, you will notice what was going through Uddhava's mind. Uddhava's mind was that separation from Krishna was giving him a lot of thoughts going through his mind, thinking about Krishna, what happened between Uddhava and Krishna. Uddhava and Krishna. For example, Krishna's beauty. Uddhava was always affected by beauty of Krishna. And the one incident, what happened in Dwaraka, which was not spoken when Krishna was on the planet, but which Uddhava knew, only two or three people knew about it. Uddhava knew about it, Rukmini knew about it, Balaram knew about it. Nobody else knew about it. It is like that sometimes, you know, in this world, some people, they'll do something. And if somebody else is, something is known to someone else about it, they'll tell them, don't reveal this to the world till I leave this world. They'll put a condition to that. And then once they die or go out of position, or once they leave this world, then after so many years, the government reveals all the documents, isn't it? That this happened 30 years ago, this is how the world war broke out, and what discussions happened in the parliament, this or the confidential meetings, what went on and all. Those things will come out at that time, isn't it? It's quite normal, isn't it? Even today, it's the same thing, that's what happens. So it's not an unusual thing, it happens all the time. That governments decide that certain information not to be leaked at the moment, because that will cause a catastrophe. After 30-40 years, this generation goes away. Then the next generation or second generation follows. They won't be bothered what happened 3 generations ago. Now they reveal everything. What happened 40-50 years ago? They'll say the untold story, they'll say. Or they'll say the real thing, what happened. So like that, they'll bring it out something. And then another sets of books will come out, people will go and buy, queue up, and buy everything and start, this is what has happened at that. And then they start chewing the chewed, like Prabhupada says, puna puna charvida charvananam, the same thing being chewed again and again, year after year. So that goes on. But here also in Krishna's case, this one particular incident is like that. For some reason, Krishna told Uddhava not to reveal this to anybody. This particular incident. In the Bhagavadam, there is a very, very minute indication of this incident, what happened. This incident happened in Dwaraka at a time. If you remember in the 10th canto of Bhagavadam, Krishna and Rukmini quarreled once. Quarrel means, Pranaya Kalaha means call. It was a loving quarrel. That Krishna was teasing Rukmini, and Rukmini spoke a lot of things on that day to Krishna. Krishna rejected Rukmini, and Rukmini spoke to Krishna about what that means, what Krishna has spoken. So this is the 60th chapter in the 10th canto. This discussion has happened between Krishna and Rukmini, and it's one of the most important chapters in the pastimes of Krishna in the Bhagavad. So after this incident, some few months have gone. It was then Krishna was very busy running to Hastinapur to look after the Pandavas. That was the main business in those days. To thinking about Pandavas and Kunti Devi, how to look after them, and how to bring to a settlement of the issues that's happening there. So Krishna was at once, it so happened that he came to Dwaraka, and he spent some time at home, at the palace, with Rukmini and others. So one afternoon, Krishna stayed some time in his bedroom, taking some rest or something. And after that, Rukmini Devi brought some milk for Krishna. Krishna took the milk, and Rukmini left. When Rukmini left, Krishna closed the doors, and he sat there after drinking the milk. You know, sometimes people, they get, when they get into a good mood, they start singing, isn't it? You must have seen. So, when Krishna was also after drinking the milk, Krishna felt like singing. Krishna is also like us, sometimes he wants to sing. And he's not that, sometimes people have this conception that Krishna is someone very special, different, completely different. No. When he comes to this earthly planet, when he is performing his pastime, many of his pastimes are also like the human activities. But at the same time, all these pastimes have a different side to it also. So Krishna was also in a good mood after drinking the milk. And suddenly what came to Krishna's mind was that message what Rukmini sent to Krishna just before marriage. If you remember that famous message from Rukmini to Krishna. That message came to his mind and he started singing that message. That so when he started singing that song, that it's a verse, isn't it? Shrutva gunan bhuvana sundara. That is how it begins. So he, Krishna immediately realized, Rukmini has called me this special word, bhuvana sundara. That means the most beautiful person in the whole creation. And only during the quarrel, Krishna says, people are calling me Sundara, Sundara. I am looking like a dark, darkish cloud, nature. I don't know why people call me like this, but because I pay them all money, they call me like this, Krishna says. So Krishna makes a joke of everything with Rukmini like this. But Krishna knew that there must be something when Krishna has, Rukmini has called me like Bhuvana Sundara. So that means some beauty must be there in me. Krishna also thought like that. Then immediately mind can go in any direction. That is for Krishna also it can happen like that, isn't it? It's not that mind is such a thing. When it goes in one direction, you don't know which way it will go. For us, all of us, we know. We have our own experience. So when Krishna says also same thing happened. Krishna was thinking like this. Why Rukmini called me Sundara like this? Then it came to him, the gopis, what they call him. So gopis have called him a beautiful word. What was that? Shyama Sundara he called him. So gopis have called him Shyama Sundara and Rukmini has called him Bhuvana Sundara, like that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Who else has called me Sundara, he says. Then thought came to him, Kubja has called me Sundara, isn't it? Remember Kubja? That Trivakra was her name, it's a Sairandhri, who came and held Krishna's uttariyam and asked him, Sundara, let's go home. Kubja says to Krishna. So Krishna called her first, Sundari. As a beautiful, although she had so many bends in her body, Krishna was calling her Sundari. No one in her life has ever called her Sundari. But first time Krishna has called her Sundari. So Kubja responded nicely, saying to him, Oh Sundara, why don't you come with me home? So three people have called Krishna at different times, this beautiful word called Sundara. Krishna is sitting there singing this song. And suddenly, Krishna suddenly looked at himself, because the whole room is studded with jewels and expensive expensive materials, that Krishna's reflection could be seen in the mirrors and in the expensive jewels, what were on the walls everywhere. So when Krishna looked at himself, unfortunately, whatever it is, Krishna got absorbed in that, in his own beauty. Krishna could never believe about his own beauty, how beautiful he was. And he kept looking at this, and he forgotten the environment completely, that he was sitting there thinking about his own beauty. Rukmini came there, knocked at the door. Krishna has forgotten to open the door. Krishna didn't even open the door. Rukmini kept on knocking. Krishna wouldn't open the door. So Rukmini thought, has something gone wrong again? Because only a few weeks ago this incident happened between Krishna and Rukmini. So this time Rukmini decided to bang the door heavily. And after a lot of banging, suddenly Krishna came back to his own consciousness. Consciousness means he was aware that somebody is knocking at the door. Up to that point, Krishna was absorbed in seeing his own beauty in the body, beauty in the mirror, reflection in the mirror. So when he opened the door, Rukmini walked in. Rukmini said, how long have I been knocking at the door? What were you doing? Rukmini says to Krishna. Krishna didn't answer that question. For a moment, Krishna was not able to reply anything to Rukmini. Rukmini says to Krishna, there must be something, you have to tell me what was going on, that you couldn't open the door. What was it then? No, Rukmini, I was just thinking, remember the song you sent me first day, when you sent me that love letter, first letter you sent me, remember that first line, Krishna says to Rukmini. Rukmini understood, what did I say? Shrutva gunan bhuvana sundara shrunvadam dev. That is how that verse begins, isn't it? Bhuvana sundara, you have called me, so I was just thinking about myself, looking at that. Rukmini understood what was happening. Rukmini immediately saying, without saying one thing, went downstairs. But while going downstairs, Uddhava was already waiting there. Because normally in the afternoon, Uddhava used to go with Krishna for a for a walk, evening walk together. They used to go together when Krishna is in Dwaraka, Uddhava used to go with him. So that particular evening, Uddhava had come and Uddhava was waiting there for Krishna to come. But Krishna didn't come. It took a long time for Krishna to come. So Uddhava was not sure what was happening. Ultimately, when Krishna came down, he was late. So Uddhava started walking with Krishna. Well, walking with Krishna, Uddhava asked Krishna, "What happened? Why were you late today?" So there were friends as well, isn't it? Uddhava is Krishna's devotee, but at the same time, the relationship was so friendly. So at that time, Krishna told Uddhava what happened. And also told Uddhava to keep it confidential, this topic. That is why this thing came out only when Krishna departed from this world and when Krishna spoke about this to Vidura. That is why you can read that here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vismavanam susaja saubhagardhe padambadam bhushana bhushanangam. Bhagavatam says like that. Vismavanam susaja saubhagardhe. That one's own beauty, he was amazed by his own beauty. Krishna was amazed by his own beauty. Uddhava says this. And this is that incident in the Srimad Bhagavatam, put it through these two lines. Padam vadam bhushana bhushanangam. That Vidura, Uddhava knew that the beauty of Krishna, at some times when Krishna has manifested that beauty, those who have seen, they were completely affected by the beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So this one particular incident, what happened in Dwaraka, has never come out till Krishna departed from this world and from these words of Uddhava when he spoke to Vidura. That is how this incident was mentioned. So that is the beauty of Krishna, which has attracted Uddhava. Uddhava wanted to mention various things to Vidura. In different instances, how Uddhava was affected by Krishna's different personalities, particularly the beauty. And in another instance, Uddhava says to Vidura, what happened in Mathura. When Kamsa was killed, ultimately Krishna and Balaram took over the administration. They were 12 years old, weren't they? They were 12 years old. Krishna was 12 years and Balaram was also close to that. So when Kamsa was killed, they took over the administration. And not only they took over the administration, they brought Ugrasena as the king and told him, "Grandad, please take care of the administration." They says to Ugrasena. Ugrasena by age, he was very, very old. Kamsa has imprisoned him and he had gone through a lot of hard times. And due to age also, he was virtually shaking like this. He was such an old person. So Ugrasena says to Krishna that, "I am not capable of running the administration. I should not be put onto the throne. It should be someone else. It should be actually yourself who have taken the effort to kill Kamsa and take over the kingdom." Krishna replies to Krishna and Balaram replies to Ugrasena that no, that is not acceptable. You are the right authority to take over the administration. Krishna says to Ugrasena, but Ugrasena says, "Look at my condition. This is how it is." "Oh, that will all change." As soon as Krishna spoke like this, Ugrasena's shivering has stopped. He has got back his youth back again. So Ugrasena did not know what was happening to himself. What was happening to himself, he didn't know. Ugrasena took over the administration and Ugrasena says to Krishna and Balaram that, "I do not have the capacity to manage this country, this kingdom. Not only that, if a war, we have so many enemies, Jarasandha," because they knew once Kamsa is killed, Kamsa's father-in-law is Jarasandha. And then Naragasura and so many others, they were waiting there to invade. Krishna and Balaram pays their obeisances to Ugrasena and says to him, "Don't worry about it. As long as you give us some food to eat, we will stay here and we will make sure that everything goes okay." Look at Krishna's mind. Seeing this, Uddhava was moved by that. Uddhava was moved by that attitude of the Supreme Lord. After coming here, Krishna had several opportunities to be the king, isn't it? He had several opportunities to be the king, if he wanted to. No. No attachment to anything. No interest in any of these affairs. Krishna is teaching this world what actually dharma means. Look at today's condition. Somehow or the other, if I can get into the minister's chair before I die, that is what everyone is thinking about today, isn't it? People come to politics with this intention only. They'll say, oh, I want to serve the country, I want to serve this, I want to serve this people, that people, so many things they'll say. But at the end, the whole thing is working only toward one direction. How to get into the chair of the minister, minister's chair. Krishna is saying, that is not the dharmam. Dharmam is this, that in whatever situation one is, if one has the sincere, this Krishna is showing by the action itself, by his own actions, he has shown to the world that even without becoming a minister or prime minister or president, one can serve this world if he wants to serve. But if on the other hand, in the name of service, exploiting people to take over the administration, become ministers, if that's the goal, Krishna says that is not a very good understanding of dharma. So various activities of Krishna has made Uddhava to realize that Krishna is not a person who has, is not the Supreme Lord who spoke dharmam, but also in his own life, he actually showed it to people how to execute dharmam as well. So that is more important, that in his own personal activities, Krishna showed to the world how to execute dharmam. So that is what has moved Uddhava, and Uddhava confirms that in his verse. Here in the Bhagavatam you can find that. He says like this, then, taptasya kaingaryamalam pradanno viglamayatyangayad ugrasenam tishtam nishannam parameshti vishne vibhodayad deva nidharayetim. That like kaingaryam or kingara or like a servant, after installing Ugrasena on the throne, Krishna was asking him, please instruct us what I should do. This is Krishna's nature. And this has affected with Uddhava. Seeing that Krishna's detachment to anything in this world, that particular pastime of Krishna has affected Uddhava so much. So Uddhava was glorifying that incident, what happened in Mathura after killing Kamsa. So, like this, so many different things has affected Uddhava, which you can find in the Bhagavatam. Then, what else? Krishna's prabhutvam. Prabhutvam means that position, aristocratic position. We do not understand who Krishna was, do we? We don't understand who Krishna was. We keep saying Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We hear from the Bhagavatam and from Bhagavad Gita also, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. And Uddhava was the personality who understood what Krishna's position is. In Dwaraka, this incident happened. So therefore, in order to understand Krishna's glorious position, one has to hear from devotees like Uddhava. Uddhava has seen it, and Uddhava left it for our benefit to understand who Krishna is. What happened in Dwaraka? In Dwaraka, what used to happen was, he says here, Swayam dasamya adishaya stradhisha swarajyalakshya apta samasta kamaha velim had mischira lokapale kirida kotedhida pada pidaha. Uddhava says that there was no one who was equal to Krishna. There was nobody who was equal to Krishna. Swayam dasamya adishaya stradhisha. Krishna's position was such, there was no one whom you could say he was equal to Krishna in any aspect. If you say there is no one equal to Krishna, that also implies that there was no one who is superior to Krishna in any way. Isn't it? It is also understood by that. Swayam dasamya adishaya stradhisha. That was Krishna's position. Then nobody, Krishna, Uddhava says here, in opulence or in that aristocratic nature, no one could be compared to Krishna. No one was equal to him. Uddhava has witnessed that in many instances. Why? Swarajyalakshyapta samastagamam. This is more important. Swarajyalakshmyapta samastagamam. Krishna had no need of anything. All needs are fulfilled automatically. Just for example, when big people, they get into big positions, they will ask for, demand so many things, isn't it? Oh, I need this for my position, demands, needs this car, or this house, or this, that, and the other. Like this, people demand things when they get into higher positions, do they not? That is because they think it's a right for them to ask for it. But what is special with Krishna is, although Krishna has got every, Krishna's position is such, he has no demands from anyone. No demands from anyone. That's what it says there. Swaranja Lakshmi apta samasta gama. There is no desire. Till this date, Uddhava says, Krishna had never had to approach anyone for anything. Not once. The only thing what Krishna has done, always giving to others. But never took one thing from anyone at any time. Krishna has never done that. That is what Uddhava is pointing out. Swaraja Lakshya apta samasta gama. That all desires he is satisfied within himself. Doesn't require the help from anyone to be happy in life. Krishna's position is such, without any of us doing any service to Krishna, Krishna is still satisfied. He doesn't require the help of anyone else in this world to be satisfied or be happy in his time. So, whereas all of us, we require other people to give us happiness. We need association. We also expect so many things. We offer things to others. Like this, all these mutual exchanges, everything is necessary for us to live in this world. Even for great personalities in this world, they are bound by that. But difference is, Krishna doesn't require any of these things. Swaraja Lakshmi apta samasta gama. All his desires are, he is complete in himself. Without any of our help, Krishna is still blissful in his position. So, it's like nobody is equal to him, nobody is superior to him. As far as personally concerned, Krishna doesn't require anyone from anybody, anything from anyone. That is so independent he is. His position is like that. This is that greatness of the glory of Krishna. That not being dependent on anyone for anything. And Uddhava has noticed this. Although it is like that, who comes to see Krishna? The personalities who comes to see Krishna, they were such great personalities, all the Lokapalas. That in every universe, there are particular authorities for everything, isn't it? So Krishna's arrangement is such like that. So many Devadas responsible. In every universe there is a Brahma, there is a Shiva, and there is Vishnu. Vishnu, Brahma, Shiva, the Trimurtis, they are there in all the universes. And there Indra, Chandra, Varuna, so many other gods, they are all present in all the universes. Are they not? They are present in all these universes, they are present there. So, they were coming to see Krishna in Dwaraka. They were coming to see him. When they come to see Krishna, they had to wait outside. They had to wait outside. They had to queue up to see Krishna. And they have brought some offerings with them to offer it to Krishna. They brought some offerings when they come to see him. And in that list, if you look, the personalities who were waiting there, great personalities, Vishnu was there, Shiva was there, Brahma was there, and so many other great souls, they were waiting there, all great authorities. And they have not come in any form, they are fully dressed up in their positions, what's being given to them, because that is how Krishna likes it. Krishna likes it when they come, when these great personalities come to see Krishna, Krishna expects them to be dressed up properly. According to the status, what they have in each of these universes. That is the position of Krishna. That Krishna expects them to be properly dressed to coming to see them. So they were all coming and they were queuing up there. And Krishna was seated in the golden throne inside, in the palace in Dwaraka, when they have come to see him. Velim Haradvi Shira Logabalehi. Logabalas, they have all come. All the Lokapalas had come to see Krishna. And they come to see Krishna. And when they had come to see Krishna, they had to queue. They had to stay in the queue. Eventually, they were called in. Krishna has they were allowed. Now you can come and see. So they were stopped at the entrance and they had to stay in the queue, and then they were allowed to come in. When they were allowed to come in, everyone, one after the other, they come with a lot of respect and very carefully they approach the Supreme Lord, one after the other. When they come, kirida koti etida padapidaha, Krishna is sitting there with his legs rest, with the feet, the lotus feet is resting on a golden golden seat. It is resting there. The two, the lotus feet is resting there. So when they come, Vishnu and others, they are all coming and they are offering, they have brought some tulsi leaves with them for Pushpanjali, for offering at the lotus feet. They offer the tulsi leaves at the lotus feet of Krishna. And between two Krishna's lotus feet, there is a small space. Krishna's lotus feet is resting on the seat. And between the lotus feet, there is a little space. So what do they do? Kirida koti ethida padapidaham. That these, they were wearing their opulent crowns on their head, made of gold and all the jewels on that. So that's also metal there. And this is also metal. This seat is also metal. So they were very careful when they touched their head on Krishna's lotus feet, not to touch their feet. They were holding both the lotus feet of Krishna with both the hands, and with the head, with the crown, they will simply touch in the middle between the two lotus feet on the seat, which is also made of metal. So when this metal touches the other metal, there will be a sound, krim, immediately it happens, isn't it? So this sound was continuously coming from inside. Continuously coming from inside. Uddhava was seeing this. Uddhava was seeing this. And that is why Uddhava is saying here, kirida koti etida padapidaham. That kirida koti etida padapidaha. That kirida, the thousands and thousands of these great, great personalities, they were coming, holding on to Krishna's lotus feet with both hands and touch their crown between the two lotus feet and touching the seat. And every time this sound was coming out all the time from the lotus feet of Krishna. So that is what is Uddhava has noticed these things referring to Krishna's position as the Supreme Lord, mentioning this to Vidura. Swayam dasamya adishayastra disha Swarajya lakshyapta samasta kama Belimharad vischira logavale Kirida koti ethida pada pidaha Kirida koti ethida pada pidaha. That kiridam, that the crown, when it is touching them, that the sound was very enjoyable. Uddhava was enjoying that and mentioned this to Vidura, what was happening. This was just to show Krishna's position as Prabhutvam, or that aristocratic position. Among all the other great, great demigods, even, they come and offer their respects to Krishna. And this is why Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam and all the great authorities in the Vedic tradition accepts Krishna's position as the Absolute Truth for this reason. And he also mentions there that other qualities, what has attracted Krishna, Uddhava. Uddhava's attraction was, Uddhava says Krishna's mercy. What attracted Krishna's mercy? Why? Aho bhagiyam sthanakala kudam jikham saya payadapya sadhi lebhe gadim da trujidam kudonyu kamvadayalum sharanam vrajemam. Uddhava says there that Uddhava mentioned this about Putana. Bhaga sister, isn't it? Bhaga sister. Akha and Bhaga, two brothers. Uddhava was the, Putana was the middle one. Aho bhagiyam sthanakala kudam. This Putana had a great good fortune, Uddhava says to Vidura. How can it be? Putana is a rakshasi, isn't it? How could Putana got such a good fortune? Uddhava says to Vidura, this Putana got a great opportunity. What was that? Was able to make a good offering to Krishna. That offering nobody else has got. That opportunity what Putana had it. Aho bhagiyam sthanakala kudam. Only the little difference was, the offering was little not very tasty. That was the only difference. And the thing was that Krishna knew that what intention Putana had come with, isn't it? on both her breasts she has applied this Kalagodam poison. And that is what she wanted to offer to Krishna. That's what she wanted to offer to Krishna. Ahobagiyam stana kalagudam. Kalaguda poison was that. That is what was on the spread on the stanam, on the breast. Jighamsaya bhayadapya sadhvi. Then she wanted to feed Krishna with this and look after Krishna like a mother. Like a mother she wanted to do that. So Krishna is like this. If somebody comes to Krishna with the intention of serving, even though the intention was not very good, Krishna says, after all, she wanted to look after me like Mother Yashoda, isn't it? She wanted to look after me like Mother Yashoda. That is how Krishna has seen that. Krishna has seen Pudana's approach in that way. Lebhe gadim dātrujidam kudonyam. So Krishna decided. Unfortunately, when someone comes and asks Krishna for something, Krishna has nothing bad to give to anybody. Always he has got something good to offer. This is the difficulty. So you may think that Pudana has offered this Kalagodam poison to Krishna, isn't it? Kalagodam poison, which is not very pleasant. But in return, Krishna says, you have come to me like my Dhatri. Dhatri means, in those days, what used to happen was that sometime, apart from the mother, Yashoda had breastfed Krishna for a long time. But at the same time, when Mother Yashoda was not very well, there were other women who were able to offer the breast milk to Krishna. And they were called Dhatri in that sense. That Dhatri, because they were able to offer their milk, breast milk to Krishna when Krishna was a baby. So Krishna has drunk this milk from different gopis at that time. So Krishna has grown up like that, and their position is equal to Mother Yashoda. And in the olden days it was a system also that when the children grow up, they were told that they had this breast milk from so and so, such and such a person. And they are respected exactly like the mother. And there was a system that they paid their obeisances to that personality also, and offered some special presents and everything to the Dhatri, to this mother. That is what it is. Lebhegadim dātrujidam kudonyo. This was the system in those days. Nowadays things have come to such an extent that we don't need a mother also to have a birth. The advancement is such that what to talk about having a Dhatri. Dhatri is out of question. But even a mother is not necessary. That's the way science has gone in that direction. So, and there is a lot of pride also in all the success of what they are making it. So, Bhagavatam is saying, Lebhegadim dātrujidam kudonyam. That Dhatri's position, that was the position of Pudana. After all, what has Pudana has done? Pudana has done exactly like Yashoda Devi. Yashoda Devi used to take me with both the hands, and sometimes Krishna used to kick her chest. Isn't it? It's like small babies, they kick the chest of the mother. And mother enjoys that kicking from the baby. And then very happily, mother feeds the child with the breast milk. And while drinking the milk, also there is a lot of happiness, exchange of happiness between the mother and the baby, mother and the child. That happiness goes on. So, Pudana wanted to do exactly the same thing. Pudana wanted, except that Pudana's intentions were not very good. Pudana wanted to kill Krishna at that time. But Krishna is saying, although because you have come to me in this way, like a Dhatri, you have fed me like this. Instead of breast milk, you have fed me this Kalagodam. But therefore, you are also as good as my mother. Lebhegadim dātrujidam kudonyam. What was it? Kamvadayalam sharanam vrajemam. That how, what a kindness what Krishna has shown to that. Whom else should I take shelter? Vidura, Uddhava says to him at that time. Such a dayalu, such a person, where will you find who has shown that kind of mercy even to a person who come to kill him? He has sent him back to the spiritual world. Where else will you find this mercy? This is what Uddhava asked Vidura. Uddhava was moved by this kindness of Krishna. That there are so many devadas in this world whom you can worship and offer all your obeisances and everything, you worship them, and they will appear also sometimes in front of you, and they'll say to you, "We'll give you only, you ask me one boon, I'll give you that, that's all, nothing more." So like that, there are so many. But here, Supreme Personality Krishna, in spite of the fact that Putana came to Krishna with the intention of poisoning Krishna and killing him, Krishna is saying, Lebhe gadim dhatrujidam kodonyo kamvadayalam sharanam rajemam. That dayalu, that mercy what Krishna has shown, who else has shown in this world? This is what makes Krishna's position superior to all others. And this is what Uddhava has noticed. Krishna's aristocracy, Krishna's beauty, Krishna's special merciful nature to the surrendered soul, or even to enemies like Putana, all this has attracted Uddhava very much. And that is why Uddhava repeatedly kept mentioning this to Vidura. Like you will notice from the Ramayana and Mahabharata also, that Lord Ramachandra at least had accepted the administration, isn't it, for some time due to pressure from the people, from the subjects. They pressurized Ramachandra to accept, and for some time, at the very end, Ramachandra accepted the kingdom. Other for a long time, Ramachandra stayed away from administration. He gave up the responsibility to Bharata. And then later on also, Ramachandra did not want to take up the administration, but because Dasharatha was gone, and being the eldest member of the family, and also from pressure from Vasishtha and all the other brothers, more than above from the people of Ayodhya, Ramachandra had to accept the position of the king. Ramachandra accepted that. But Krishna did not even accept that. So what does it all show to us? That from these personality, Supreme Personality Krishna, is showing to us that this desire for power and any misunderstanding that only if you become Prime Minister you can serve the people, that is a wrong perception. That's a wrong perception. And particularly in the modern system, when you become Prime Minister or President or whatever it is, in whichever country it is, it doesn't matter. The politics associated with that, and by the time you go through all that political process, your time is over. You can pack up and leave also. But Krishna is saying, original system what Krishna has established is this, that those who are after dharmam, who wants to follow the path of dharmam, they are not bound by any of these things. Krishna and Ramachandra show to this world that by their activities, it is possible to maintain the dharmic principles in life, even without being in the position. So many things has attracted Uddhava. Uddhava was captivated by all these activities of Krishna. Then Krishna, Uddhava talks about what happened in Rajasuyam. Drishtva bhavadvirnanu Rajasuyam chaidyasya krishnam vishado besiddhi yam yogina samsprahayandi samyam yogena kastadviraham sahedaham. In the Rajasuyam sacrifice, Uddhava was present there in the Rajasuyam ceremony. In Rajasuyam, we have discussed Rajasuyam in the 10th canto before. When Rajasuyam ceremony happened, so many great personalities were present there. Very, very, very aristocratic people. Great kings, great kingdoms, and so many other personalities were there. And when it came to the question of who should be worshipped in the Agrasana position, Agrasana puja, that time, the decision was taken that Krishna should be worshipped. That decision was taken by Sahadeva and Bhishma also. And there was a great approval from everyone that Krishna should be worshipped as the chief guest on that Agrasana Puja. So, that has shown to Uddhava what is Krishna's position is. Krishna's position is, Drishtva bhavadmeranan urajasuye chaidyasya krishnam dushado visiddhi yam yogina samsprahayandi samyam gogena kastadviraham sahedaha. Fire alarm? Is it fire alarm? We have to stop there. Yeah. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.